The Lord be with you.
I
speak to you in the name of God, undivided, God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today we are continuing our series on the Lord's Prayer. In previous weeks, we have looked at our Father and the underlying meaning to Father in the time of Jesus and what we are to carry. The sense that God is Father, not in necessarily the earthly way, but in the sense of the householder, the provider, the creator, who sustains everything we have. We talked about heaven, and that heaven is a community that we are together in heaven now. That heaven is not some altered place somewhere else. That we are a community, that we've joined this community where there is mutual respect and love and caring for each other. We are individuals, but we're also a people together in community, and that God is in the midst of the community with us. That is heaven, that is the kingdom where we can relax. We don't have to face the cudgels of life that we meet every day in our jobs, or maybe neighbors that don't understand us, or a world that doesn't. But within community, heaven is there. We talked about hallowed be your name. We talked about the meaning of hallow. That hallow is holy, the sense that when we have turned aside from our daily activities and turned to God, we are now in a hallowed space. That we are on hallowed ground, much like Moses when he turned aside to see the burning bush. That we are a holy people, and that we are holy with God and God holy with us. That God is in our midst, and we are holy in ourselves and with each other. We are hallowed. We are a hallowed people, a holy people. Today we're going to focus in on thy kingdom come. Now what does that mean, thy kingdom come? Remember that when we are thinking about the Lord's Prayer, it's always in the context of the time in which Jesus taught it and gave it to us. I mean, we live now 2,000 years later, but we often forget the context of what was happening because Jesus spoke for his own time to the people who were around him in his own culture, and they had a framework. He couldn't speak in the 20th century or the 21st century. That's where we are now. I keep forgetting. We're in the 21st century because they wouldn't understand it. So he talked in his own century, first century language. And the context in which they were in was a sense that kingdom for them was two poles. There was either the pole of the Roman kingdom, or there was this sense of Judaism. And the last book written in what's known as the Hebrew Bible, though that would not have been called the last book in the time of Jesus, but the last book decided by the Jews to be in what we today call the Old Testament, is the book of Daniel. And Daniel was writing about 400 years before Jesus. And at the time of Daniel, Daniel was prophesying and looking at the world around him and looking at his own Hebrew kingdom, the faith and how it was being practiced in the temple. And he was saying, we have cracked up what we have done. We are just destroying everything. We are not faithful. We have broken away. But he was also looking out beyond that. And the great Satan of Daniel's day, a lot of people have loved to describe what is the great Satan. The great Satan of Daniel's day was the Greek, Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great and his marching legions, which gave way later to the Romans, was destroying everything. And they felt, the Hebrews felt, that they were under threat. And so Daniel wrote for his own time. We see wisdom in his writing, but he wrote in his own time. Daniel was very pessimistic. It reminds me of a story. You may have heard this before. But there was a woman who had two twins. Because when Daniel was writing, there was also another guy, a different attitude by somebody whose name was Hesod. He was writing at the same time, but he was following Alexander the Great, and he thought everything was wonderful. And compare and contrast the two visions is quite startling. There was a woman who had twin boys, and one was extreme pessimist, and the other was an extreme optimist. Now, it could be just a lovely day where the sun is shining, and the pessimist would say, "Oh, I'm going to get a sunburn. I'll get cancer and die." But the optimist saying, "How wonderful it is. The ground will grow, the grass will grow, the trees will bloom. I love the sun." And this dichotomy was in both these boys in everything. And it was driving Mama crazy. And so Mama went to the doctor and she said, "Doc, what do I do?" And he said, he's a psychiatrist, "What do I do?" And the doc said, "Well, have they got any special days coming up?" "Oh yeah, in about 3 weeks they have a birthday, the twins, you know, same day." "Ah," said the doctor, "this will straighten the boys out. I want you to give to the pessimist boy, even if you have to take a bank loan, the very best toys, all the things he's ever wanted. And when he's asleep at night, sneak into the room and fill the room with all this wonderfulness." "Okay," she said, "but what do I do for my optimistic kid?" "Oh," he said, "just give the kid a box of horse manure." "Really?" "Yeah, do it. It'll straighten him out." So she goes ahead and waits, and then when the boys are asleep, she sneaks in with all these great toys, you know, the Xbox and all the stuff. You can imagine all the stuff she'd bring in, the best candy, fill the room, nicely decorated packages. To the kid who is the optimist, she brought in a box of horse manure, put him at the bottom of his bed. So she gets up early in the morning to listen to the reaction, because, you know, she was really trusting this psychiatrist. So she went and listened by the door of the guy who was the pessimist. And he was opening up, ripping these packages and seeing all this wonderful stuff. "Oh my, look at all this wonderful stuff. Why would Mom give me all this stuff? Oh my God, I must be, I'm going to die. I have cancer and they haven't told me." And then she went to the room where the optimist was. And there he was, down on his hands and knees, going through the box of manure. "Boy, oh boy, you can't fool me. Whatever this horse manure, there's got to be a pony." So, this was the state at the time of Daniel's writing. And this is the mindset that we have coming up to the time when Jesus is ministering. And they were talking about kingdom. Do we have the kingdom where everything is going apart? Or is everything optimistic? You see, everybody sees things often, not everybody, but a lot of people see things in these two windows. Daniel saw the empire was crumbling. The other guy, Hesod, thought everything was wonderful. Well, we know in the long run, Daniel was right because the Greek Empire crumbled into the Roman Empire. Kingdom refers to community. Kingdom refers to community. Thy kingdom come is talking about what is God's community like. And what Daniel was asking for, and what the early church was looking for, and John the Baptist was looking for, was that we need to change things. Things are cracking and falling apart. We can't trust the civil authority. The Greeks have gone. The Romans are no better. And at the same time, we think we don't trust the Jewish leadership in the temple. Don't forget, at this time they felt that the temple was the connection between God and humans. That this was the, and the temple rulers had a lot of power. They said, we don't trust all that. We need something different. We need something called the eschaton, the new last days, a Teutonic shifting. We are calling for a new vision of what it means to be Jewish. And we're in faith calling on God, please send us something to clean up. We need that great cleanup. And that was the message of John the Baptist, that God is not happy with what's going on and the great cleanup is going to happen. And that was the message that John the Baptist was proclaiming. And they were looking for a new kingdom with a new leader to work at transforming the world in which they were living. And so Jesus comes. And Jesus is starting to proclaim a new kingdom. And his kingdom is one of equality. That there is a great cleanup, but the kingdom of Jesus is all based in peace. World peace. Peace and love are the foundations of the kingdom of God. But the kingdom is a community, not just an individual thing. It is a thing where we are together to be a place of restorative justice, nonviolent communication, where there is forgiveness, where there is a sense of love. That's the kingdom, the promise of the kingdom of Jesus. And Jesus said, we as people who follow God in a sincere way, remember, he was expecting everybody to be Jewish. As we are the people of Abraham and Moses, we must follow God in a way that we build a community of trust, of faith, of forgiveness, of reconciliation, of love and peace. And that's very much different than the Roman vision, that we have peace by destroying all our enemies by killing them with a sword, and then we have peace because everybody who's not with us is dead. And Jesus said, that's not the way. The way is for reconciliation, for forgiveness, for love, for working together. And that's the image of kingdom, a place of peace and love, a place of human divine action. Because we can't get to that space unless we ourselves understand that we have a divinity within us, that we are called to take risks, that we are called in our risk taking to extend the so-called olive branch to others and to work at building a new community. So that's where, here in the church kingdom, thy kingdom come is a place of restoration, of reconciliation, of peace, of understanding and forgiveness. And a sense that you can be there at that point of view and I can have my point of view. We can be different, but we still can respect and love one another and not see each other as enemies just because we have divergent points of view. Sadly, we're living in a world today where we've slipped back into the Roman way that we only going to have peace if we just annihilate everybody else who disagrees with us. And this annihilation only leads to more annihilation because more and more people get the weapons. And we look around us right now at what's happening in trying to solve the Syrian problem where people are starving to death. Every day there's people dying of starvation. And the people who are trying to bring a solution to this can't even sit in the same room together. And the peacemakers are trying to run between one room and the other. And what bothers me is they're probably all praying. But they haven't got the vision that Jesus was teaching. Thy kingdom come. The kingdom that we pray about in the Lord's Prayer is a place of reconciliation, of understanding, forgiveness, and working together. That's the kingdom. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, and we do it every week, and we may do it every day, that's what we're asking for. This is the definition of kingdom, which we mean in the Lord's Prayer, which Jesus meant when he taught it to us. Now that's startling. I'll bet you that even though this is a universal prayer of the church, and I could probably get Donald Trump to pray the prayer, I don't know if Donald would understand what he's praying and what he's asking for. Donald is my sort of stark straw man right now. He's easy to pick on, I guess. But we have to help people understand that kingdom means this community of inclusion, this community of peace and the presence. And we see that in Paul's writing in the second lesson today. We see this vision of love. That's the foundation of the kingdom. And we are all instruments and members of the kingdom. We are challenged to live that out in our lives with ourselves, our families, and our neighbors. And our neighbors are big. I want to end with this thought, and it's so important I wrote it down. The kingdom of God did not, could not, and will not begin, continue, or conclude without human collaboration. The kingdom of God did not, could not, and will not begin, continue, or conclude without human collaboration. It's not going to be that God is going to somehow zap us, but that God calls us to be empowered by the Holy Spirit from within us, working as individuals, the alive people of God, building a new kingdom. Building it together in our own individual ways through understanding, better communication, forgiveness, patience, kindness, and love. And so today when we pray the Lord's Prayer, and today when we receive the sacrament, remember we are part of a kingdom that's based on reconciliation and based in love. And may God bless us all as we journey through this life as members of the kingdom of God. Amen.